Hello and welcome back to Betch Slapped. I'm Jordana.
I'm Sammy.
And here we are.
Yes. This is supposed to be the last week that it's just going to be two of us.
Yeah, next week we're going to start all three of us. And if we don't stick to that, you'll get over it. But that's our plan.
Yeah. It's just hard to get us all like scheduled at the same time. And we're very busy.
It is. Yeah. Busy, busy. Okay. Always busy. I feel like that's like...
You can't, always busy
it's
until
like,
I'm...
It's like socially unacceptable to not claim that you're busy. In New York, I think that's like a socially unacceptable thing to claim that you have like a shit ton of free time.
Right. But
like that's very uncool.
Okay. Yesterday, I wanted to do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And then Avi was like, do you want to watch the Patriots game or whatever, like at a mm-hmm. bar? And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to do nothing today. Thank
so
you.
No.
Yeah. So no, I'm very busy until I am spending 8 hours straight on my couch, not moving.
Right.
Then I'm not very busy, but I'm busy doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you ever speak to someone about like TV shows that you're watching? You're literally like, I don't have time to watch TV. And I'm like, okay.
Right. Like,
yeah. I guess I'm just like, go like fuck my lazy ass then. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to say.
Right, like, who doesn't have time to watch TV?
I get like, some people do, I guess, work like really long hour days. Like lawyers and like finance people are like working like dawn to dusk. Fine.
Right. Yeah.
Or like longer than that. Whatever.
Right.
I do feel like in New York, like it's like not cool to be like having a lot of free time.
Right. Although like I wish I had more.
Right.
I wish it was all free, honestly. You know what? Right. I think we've talked about
this
before.
We're not working till like 9 p.m., at least not in office. But
no.
Like,
work like remote. Pretty much all the time. Like I'm always answering. I'm never like unavailable.
Right. We're always like doing things. Yeah. But I think when you're locked in an office all day, you're very like high and mighty about your lack of free time.
Right. But that's just because you're miserable. But right. I think we've discussed this. The sweet spot for like work hours is 3 a day.
That's the amount of productivity, like real intensive productivity.
Yes.
I think for creative jobs, definitely.
Right. That's like when I'm at my peak because I can actually work for 3 hours like on something.
Right.
And then the rest of it just has to kind of be like unstructured, but like, you know, still kind of working. Making Instagram stories.
I agree.
Okay. Should we talk about this show that we both were really into the past week?
Yeah. So we've been watching You on Netflix. I think it is originally a Lifetime show. Actually,
it was.
Which I find odd because I feel like there's a lot of cursing. So I'm a little confused by that.
Maybe it was bleeped.
I didn't think Lifetime had that.
I don't know. Maybe Lifetime's becoming a little bit more risque.
The show is very, very entertaining.
Loved.
I wouldn't say like good in like a like quality arts kind of way, but like very, it's kind of like Gossip Girl meets Pretty Little Liars meets Revenge.
I feel the way I felt about Revenge, like first season.
Right.
Meaning
I have a feeling
I'll probably
it won't
hate
be
second
as good.
Season. No. Right. Because already the ending was sort of like, oh, you went there already.
Right. But I do. It did make me kind of want to watch. But
oh, I will watch. I'll probably get through 3 episodes of season 2.
How do you say his name? Penn
Badgley.
Badgley. I was calling him Bagdley with a B. I'm not very good at pronouncing things.
Pronunciation.
Yeah. Pronunciation.
Say font.
Font. Not font. Font.
Okay.
Cleanser.
Cleanser.
Cleanser. I can never say that word. Woman. Women.
Woman.
Woman.
Yeah.
I can't say. I cannot. Anyone who's listened to me on You Up knows that I do not know how to say the word women. Women. I've been saying woman my entire life.
Right. I never noticed that until the You Up people.
And the plural. I didn't even know there was a distinction that I was doing anything wrong. So thank you, people who comment.
You
and
up
write
critics.
Emails and write
grammarians.
Critics. Yes. I mean, that's a word you have to kind of say a lot on a dating podcast. But anyway, so it's really good. It's kind of like if Dan Humphrey. It's like kind of like if Dan Humphrey was like a little bit more psychotic than he was on the show. Although he kind of was psychotic on Gossip Girl, right?
Right, but it wasn't like that wasn't a stalker show. I mean, it kind of was, but he wasn't.
At the end, you kind of find out that like it kind of was.
Right, I forgot he was Gossip Girl.
It's almost like a because he's like, he would be like a sort of like pseudo like superior intellectual with like a vendetta.
Right.
He like plays the same role, I guess.
It's like if he were legitimately stalking Serena Vanderwoodson instead of dating her. Although what I thought was weird was that what I thought was weird about
wasn't
this.
Wasn't he
was dating
the Gossip Girl?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was, right?
I think so. I didn't watch the end.
I don't remember. But yeah, I also like gave up on that. But okay, I realized that I really enjoy the stalker genre.
I like it too.
I love it.
Because there's so much there's so much psychotic energy that goes into it.
Right. There's also like tropes that are kind of like, you know what's going to happen. So it's a little bit comforting even while it's creepy.
Right.
Like, you know how it's going to go. You know what's going to happen.
Well, here's...
And it feels good.
Yeah. I think it also made me think about the fact that like, he's a stalker, but he also utilizes a lot of the same things that like a lot of us do use. We don't consider ourselves stalkers, but like he's just checking it like in the beginning or in the very, well, very beginning. He's really just checking like her, well, her like her social feed to infer all these things about her life.
Right. Which people do. But I think the difference is that he then goes and like follows her.
Right. Like, and then like goes into her apartment. It's, but like it's IRL stalking is IRL. Like it's the thing is internet stalking. Okay. IRL stalking, not okay.
Well, you know that people like do drive-bys of people's like houses. Like that's a thing people do. That's stalking.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I think it's different.
Like in college, the girls used to do that.
Girls in our sorority literally did that.
For like fraternities or guys they were like into.
Yeah, no, they did. It was like, yeah. And it was considered like it was normal. I mean, it wasn't normal, but it was like, oh, in the open, like people admitted to it. But what I thought was like creepy was that he actually was dating her.
Like, right. He was stalking her while dating her.
Right. Which is sort creepier of, than like, but I guess kind of like that is what stalkers are, unless it's like a random person
well,
stalking
if it's
a celebrity.
A means to the end.
Yeah. But like once you're dating them, why are you still stalking them?
Because he doesn't trust her.
Right.
Well, he says like there's a period of when they're dating where he's kind of like, oh, like my anxiety is like I'm felt comfortable. I like didn't. Like I stopped, like I remember he puts the phone away or he puts the phone away and he stops looking at it until he feels like insecure and then he goes back to it.
Right. I think
which is true of all stalking. It's like the more secure you are, the less you need to.
Well, I think like what considered the realm of normal stalking would be is like, or not normal, but common is like people checking their significant other's phone. That's like kind of stalking, but the difference is that he had the phone like as a separate device that he was getting all her texts to.
Yeah.
Which is like way more invasive. Yeah.
But like in real life, she would have like deleted the old phone. Like you get an option when you get a new phone, you can delete.
Oh,
you can erase the old phone.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever done that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a very good. Have you ever lost a phone?
No.
Oh, I've lost several phones over the years. I've lost several phones. And when you get it like once you like accept the fact that you're no longer going to get the phone back, there's an option to erase the phone, the old phone.
Oh, OK.
On the cloud.
She should have done that.
Yeah.
She wasn't like the most responsible.
She wasn't like, for someone who went to Brown, she didn't seem like that smart.
No. Or like with it.
Yeah.
Like she seemed quite irresponsible. But I thought
was
also
interesting. Or even that literary creative.
No. She was like very, she was so derivative.
Right. But she was like a Serena Vanderwoodson who also went to Brown.
Yeah, what the hell? What I thought was so interesting about it though was that like the other it wasn't just like, oh, he's the stalker and everyone else is like the hero. Like she, the one he's stalking, and like her friend,
they're all kind of fucked up.
So it enabled,
it adds an extra layer of interestingness to it.
Yeah, great show.
Because it's right, and everyone's not like completely one dimensional. And at times you're like almost sort of rooting for him, but then you're like, oh no, he just like hit Shane Mitchell in the head spastically with a rock in Central Park. Like,
how did he not get caught?
Then he's just like, it's almost like he's. He like would be like the real Dan Humphrey would be like a like kind of a
an idiot stalker,
right? An idiot like hostile like assailant.
Yeah,
because he like almost like frantically throws that rock in like a very awkward, weird way, and then runs away.
Also, like in broad daylight, there's no part of Central Park where you're just you and one other person. Like that's not the case.
So weird. It was a weird move,
right? Like someone would have seen that.
Yeah. Shay Mitchell played like her exact same character from Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah.
Like a pseudo lesbian who's like, I don't know.
A little bit.
She's like a little, she has like a little creepy secrets. She's got like private.
A little
stuck
up.
Yeah. A little stuck up. Some private secrets that she doesn't want you to know. She makes that face a lot.
Yeah.
Concerned, but also like.
It was a great
menacing.
Show, It was a great show. It really was. Like, it had all the things. It had all the parts.
If you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it and then hear our take on it. And if you've already seen it, I hope you enjoyed that.
Are you not caught up on Vanderpump?
I am caught up.
Okay, I'm not, but we haven't talked about it on this in a while. And like,
well,
we're like adults.
Full disclosure, exploring. Guys, we're recording on a Monday and it comes out tonight. So,
oh, it is Monday, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk about it next week if you guys want.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about Instagram for a minute. So last night, an egg beat Kylie Jenner's record for
how did this get viral?
Likes. Okay, I heard some intel. And you guys, I don't have this confirmed.
Why didn't someone pick one of my
Jewish's account?
The egg?
Yeah. The whole account is set up by the Fat Jewish.
What's the account called?
World Record Egg.
Okay.
And I could see him pulling
a stunt
like that.
There's so many of those accounts that are like, I post a picture of a toaster. They were the first to comment in every picture. Like, I post a picture of a toaster every day. Go to my...
People have no life.
Like, this is our society now.
Right. Daily toaster content.
Right. I post a picture of a stool every day. Like, check out my account for daily pictures of the exact same stool.
Right. Well, this is only one egg, but it did beat the record. I mean, this is such a waste of fucking time. Like, I'm just like, why don't all 18 million people do something about, like, not to get political, the migrant children who are locked in cages at the border? I don't know.
Tune into the stop to hear more. Things like this, it's easy to understand. It's really, like, straightforward. And like,
it takes nothing from you.
Right. It takes nothing from you. And it's like something that you can like get on board with very little while expending very little energy.
I mean, did you like the egg? Because I did.
I didn't like the egg.
I did. I was one of the 18 million
on principle. I didn't like the egg.
I did.
Because like,
I didn't follow the account though.
Also, like, I don't know. It was just,
it's stupid. Anyway, it's whatever. Maybe, let's talk about something else on Instagram though.
Fuck you, Kylie's baby.
How does Stormy feel?
Yeah. So we had a listener. You already read this article. We had a listener named Nicole. So thank you, Nicole. She sent us an article she wanted our take on. If you guys have anything like that where you think there's a good topic or a good article for us to discuss, please send it in to slapped@betches.com. That's slapped@betches.com.
Yes.
And the article is in The Atlantic, and it's basically about how influencers are using, like, pretending to have brand deals in order to get brand deals or to make themselves seem like
more legit
or more legit, which is so funny. The idea that like people are like wannabe sellouts so bad, like every time, like, you know what I mean? I mean, we obviously do ads on this podcast and a lot of them are brand, like we promote brands that we like and like
this is a business,
right? Yeah, this is a business and it's never like, I think the idea that like young kids, it just shows to show like, I think like you think of like the 70s and you think of people who are like anti-establishment, like anti-corporation, like these people are like, align me with, I will like give you whatever you want. Just pay me to endorse this like flat tummy tea.
Well, okay. It makes
sense. What do you
want
me to do to promote the flat tummy tea? I'll do anything.
I'll take the tea. It okay.
I'll buy the tea. I'll promote the tea.
I'll buy the tea and act like you gave me the tea for free. Okay, here's the thing. It makes sense. It actually, whoever did this first,
which is sad,
really smart, because you saw.
Well, let's describe what the gist of the article is.
You described.
So yeah, I just read this, so I think it's pretty fresh in my memory. So basically, like, it seems like it's a lot of younger people, but it's people who have like any kind
aspiring influencers, small
amounts of followers, but not like so small, probably like
5K.
Right. So these people like want to get sponsored by brands. They Instagram is like the new, I would say,
commercial.
First there was the DJ, and now
DJ?
I'm trying to think of like jobs that aren't really jobs that people like the promoter, then the DJ,
the blogger.
And now it's like the influencer.
The blogger.
Right.
Now
the blogger is like trans. No one really reads anyone's blog anymore.
But that was the thing.
Right. Yeah. And now it's kind of the influencer. It's like the job that looks like easy, really fun. And like you can get
full
paid
of perks.
For it. Right. Full of perks and you can get paid for it. This is the new like dream job for kids growing up.
Right.
Which is like, so basically these kids are like pretending to have these Instagram deals to make themselves seem more legit so that they will get Instagram deals. And they're basically like, if they go to a store or they go to like a restaurant, they'll pay for their own meal, but they'll like put it out. They'll use language that infers that they're being sponsored by being like, thanks so much to Starbucks for having me. Like,
their new mobile ordering feature is amazing. Right. So fast.
And I think that sometimes the lines are blurred. Like, we've seen people who are like friends, the people that we know, we both know, where we're like, are they getting paid to promote this product? Because like, it doesn't seem like they're big enough, but like they are getting stuff, so like you're unsure. And then I could see how like that might make them seem more legit in those communities where there are people who might want to follow them are like, oh, but brands pay them, so like
I think what they're legitimate. Really targeting is like their follower who is a lower level employee or like mid-level whatever at a brand that would pay an influencer, and they're trying to get that person to be like they want to basically get themselves added to the marketing list of whatever brand their followers work at by being like, oh, this person does it, maybe we should add her, I like her content.
Right.
You know,
and also, I mean, like I guess they were saying in the article, like a really good influencer, the line between like something that they would get paid to promote and someone who does it well, like you can almost not tell, Navy almost like sometimes when she promote, like I don't really follow fashion bloggers, but occasionally I'll look and see what she's doing. And sometimes I'm not really sure is like, does she actually use this product or is she getting paid to use this product?
Well, and that's why you have like, to use the paid partnership.
Well,
tool.
That's kind of a but not people don't always do it all the time, or they don't do it in the same way.
Right.
And sometimes I think that's almost like that shows that you do it really well, where it's like the person's not even sure. I mean, when we do ads for Betches, I consider our most successful ads are the ones that look like post the content that we would put up anyway.
Right. But that's right? But we're not trying to act. To hide, I mean, that you, they're
we,
an
we
advertiser.
We follow all FTC guidelines and always state when we're being promoted.
But again, the reason that those people can get away with not doing that and people aren't questioning it is because they're not small.
Big enough,
so they wouldn't even get in trouble even if they were breaking FTC guidelines.
Right.
So it's like...
But they're not breaking them because they're not actually being sponsored.
Right. It's honestly, it's a smart idea, but it's funny that this is happening.
Can you imagine we graduated high school in 2007. Wow, that seems like so long.
Oh my god, old but bitches.
Imagine being
almost 30.
Imagine being in high school now. And like that's like a thing that makes you cool. Like, oh my god, did you see like the coolest girl in our high school is being sponsored? Like I can imagine why that would be like a thing that you would be faking.
It's so funny. It's funny that like a corporation,
the new knockoff clothes are like knockoff sponsorships.
It's so funny. Right, that it is a status symbol.
Right.
Well,
like, oh, like, look at all this stuff I'm getting for free while you losers are paying for it.
Even though they're actually paying for it,
right,
too.
Even though they're paying for it.
But it's making it look like they're not.
I think it's a very interesting thing about, like, our consumerist generation and, like, the fact that, again, kind of going back to the egg thing, they really do tie into each other. Like, the things people care about are not really the things
are
that,
purely symbolic.
Right. And they're not really the things that we should probably be caring about.
Right. Well, I think what these people probably, none of them are doing this for their full-time job. None of them
but
can.
That's why they're doing this. But the other thing the article says that they don't realize that by doing this, they're basically like fucking up the industry because no one's sure what's real or what's not. And so these brands don't really have to pay people to do that if there's so many people doing it for free. Also, so then they're like desaturating, or they're saturating the industry so that no one's really going to get paid, or they're going to get paid less. I think brands are paying less for that kind of sponsored post than they used to.
Well, here's the thing. Those people are never going to be able to do this and like maintain it because A, they're not getting paid enough. So they do have to work full-time jobs. B, if they are trying to actually make it like to fully fund their lives through this, they will have to be making so much content that it won't even necessarily like, I think they're like, these people will hit a saturation point also.
Right.
Everyone knows like, you're not really an influencer if you're just a person with a lot of followers and you don't have like any sort of like.
Right. My question is like, how many fitness influencers does the world need? Like,
not many.
How many like food bloggers, influencers does the world need? It's all the same fucking food. Yeah. I don't really understand like what the marginal increase in pleasure is from following yet an additional person to teach you how to do a squat.
Well, that is why I like Twitter more now, because every person you follow, you're getting an original thought from them. You know what I mean? It's not just like this graphic image. That's
a lot
sort
of original thoughts though.
Okay, but like it's not that many. Like I follow 300 people right now.
Okay.
And it's like,
how many people do you follow on Instagram?
1,000.
That's a lot. Maybe.
But more people I personally know are on Instagram than on Twitter. Like very few people I actually know, like friends.
Do you read every tweet?
I like scroll through, but like I don't even think every tweet comes up. Like it is a little more algorithm driven, but like everything on Twitter, like there's more value in each thing because they're somewhat more distinct from each other than Instagram, where it's like, okay, here's a squat circuit and then here's a yolk running through out of your avocado toast. And then here's like you against some like backdrop in Miami. Like, you know what I mean? Those are all the same, but Twitter is like responsive to the moment when like what's happening.
Right.
And it's like each person's like giving a thought from their brain. So it's like a little bit more interesting.
I see that. Although you can kind of do that on Instagram story, but you're forced to include a picture with it.
You can, but those are, it's all visual. It's driven by visuals.
Right. I think, I mean, I don't have a personal Twitter, but I'll use the Betches Twitter to get, like you said, like an in real time response to like, how are people perceiving
anything?
How are people perceiving the Bachelor premiere, the Oscars, anything? Like, what is the real time feeling that people are getting? Are they and are they like liking this? Are they hating it? Like, what's being made fun of? What's like being like loved? What do people think is weird?
Twitter is way less like self absorbed.
Well, it's less curated. Like,
it's less bullshit because like I just feel like,
although a lot of it is probably also this regurgitated like joke format shit,
right? But like that is true, but not in like the grand scheme of everything that's on Twitter,
right?
You know, like there's so much on Twitter and maybe you see like a few of the same joke, but also the regurgitation is less annoying on Twitter than on Instagram, because on Twitter there's more of a conversational element to the way people interact with each other, whereas Instagram is just like me throwing my post out into the world and then another person throwing their post out,
right?
And it's like, so you see this like distilled, like I don't know, you see the same joke over and over again, and it's like much more try hard than it is on Twitter, where it's just like, oh, let me just throw off this tweet, it's whatever,
right? There's less judgment.
It's more it's like it's early more of Instagram yes, it's more of like a
early Instagram. Do you remember when you would put up a picture of like, this is my Bloody Mary?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And just not think about it, because like you were like, oh, I don't really like, I don't
no
really
one cares
give a shit.
Right, like, it's more like people are doing it to be part of the conversation, which is more fun rather than.
What do you think about like social media in general? Do you think like the amount of like different social media platforms is like tapped out, or do you think the world is waiting for another one?
I think there can always be something new.
I'm kind of interested to see like what the next,
but it has to be the right thing.
I don't think nothing has been like on the level of Instagram since Instagram came out,
right? Just musically,
which, you know, everyone, no one can stop talking about Musical.ly. I mean, I don't think that's not a thing, but it's obviously
it's not
Instagram level.
Right. It's not.
So I wonder if there will be something coming out along those lines. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Should we do some emails though?
Yes. Let's take a quick break though first.
Okay. So guys, today we are sponsored by Framebridge. And if you've been listening to the show, you've heard us talk about Framebridge. They make it like super easy and affordable to frame all your favorite things, any cool Instagram pictures you've taken or anything like that you have that you think would make great art in your house. And if you're like, you have no idea how to frame anything and like you're like me, it's a great service for you. So you're moving, right?
Yes,
Very soon.
I'm moving. So right now I'm in the midst of decorating and I am already looking for things to take up space in my walls. And I am using Framebridge. So basically what I did is I went to framebridge.com and I uploaded something from Instagram. I saw what it would look like in a preview and I could try out all the different types of frames to see how they would look. Right now they're in the process of framing it, but it will be on its way soon. But instead of paying hundreds to like go to a framing store and like print out my Instagram and all this annoying stuff, I paid like much, much less. So Framebridge's prices start at $39. All shipping is free. And our listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use code BETCH. I think you guys know how to spell that.
BETCH. Use code BETCH. It's a great gift for Valentine's Day for someone that you've been dating. It's like really sweet, thoughtful gesture.
Then they know how much you value, you know, your relationship.
So go to framebridge.com, promo code BETCH, promo code BETCH, promo code BETCH for 15% off your first order.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
And we're
back.
I'll read the first email. Hey, Batches, I love you all so much. I listen to all your podcasts and I own and have read all of your books. I think you're all very funny, but also wise, so hopefully you'll have some good advice for me. My friend recently asked me to be in her wedding, and of course I said yes. When we were discussing bridesmaid dresses, she told us she didn't want to ask our opinions because she gets overwhelmed too easily. Eye roll. So she picked a dress and sent it to the group chat and said this is what she wants. The dress has super skinny straps and is backless. It's a beautiful dress, but makes it hard to wear a bra. I should share that I wear a triple D/E size bra and do not have the perkiest bust. When I let the ladies be free, my belly button and nipples are pretty close neighbors. Any suggestions on bras I could wear / places to buy backless bras for big busts? Is it too late to ask her to consider a bustier body? Should I just suck it up and go braless and untag myself from all the wedding photos? This is something I feel really insecure about, and I'm currently saving for a breast reduction, but I won't be able to get the surgery before her wedding. Also, on an unrelated and uncomfortable note, her future husband has said many inappropriate things to me and behind my back regarding being large-chested. Thanks for your advice. Epcot. P.S. Epcot is what my swim team called me in high school because that's what my boobs look like. So you can understand why I'm a little sensitive about this topic.
Well, good job embracing your nickname. I mean, I don't think this girl's going to give a single fuck if you ask her for a different type of dress.
I thought the age of like picking a specific dress was like
so
over.
Did I.
I thought that was like a thing of the past. Brides were getting the memo that like
it's
people
annoying.
Don't want to just wear like whatever you tell them to wear regardless of their bodies or preferences.
Well, I guess this girl has not gotten the memo.
I guess she didn't get the memo. Just for the record.
Why do you want to make things harder for people?
People will hate you way less. Your bridesmaids will like you a lot more if you just give them a color and let them do their thing.
Yeah, agreed.
It's also like you're not forcing someone to spend a certain amount.
Right.
Of whatever.
They could have the dress already.
Yeah. Or borrow one.
It's the considerate thing to do.
Anyway, I guess that's not the case here.
I think she should look for like some sort of lifting situation. Like, I don't know. I don't have like that big boobs. So I've never.
Yeah.
Had
mine
issue,
are like, I would say on the average size.
Yeah.
Scale. So, but I think that you can go in. I think you could go into a store and ask like a specialty bra store, whether I don't know if like Victoria's Secret actually is the best one to do this at, but like whatever.
Probably like more of a boutique situation.
Yeah. And just tell them your issue. Show them show them a picture of the dress and state your concerns and see if there's a bra that can really help you out with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk to the bride, but like, I don't really think she's going to give a shit.
And she doesn't like, sound like she's going to give a shit.
I could see being the bride and being a little annoyed about being asked about that. Although, again, like it's kind of annoying to ask someone, people to wear the exact same dress.
Right. It also feels like this isn't like a made up issue. If her husband is casually commenting on your boob size, like they must be pretty big. Right. So I'm sure she acknowledges that.
Yeah. I mean, triple D/E is pretty big, I think.
Yeah.
I think for this is like one of those situations you should do the best that you have. Ask someone for some tips on like how to wear this dress to the best of your abilities. And like you kind of said, like it's not your wedding. Like right. If you don't like any, like if that's her choice to do that, it's your choice whether or not to like post a picture from her wedding. I'm sure she'd prefer you to do that. But like, you know what? She right. shouldn't have.
There also may be like a strapless bra out there with the back is like clear or see-through. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there is something that you can wear.
Right. To make it work for you.
Yeah.
You should definitely try to do that. And I think if not, I think if you just don't want to post any pictures from in a dress that you don't feel confident and look good in, like you'll do your part for her as a friend, which is like not looking how you want, exactly how you want to look. And like, she'll have to just eat shit that like these, that you don't.
And also
really
her pictures will
it.
Look like meh.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's take another quick break and do another email. This episode of Betch Slapped is brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. I know if you're like me, you probably made working out more as one of your 2019 New Year's resolutions. Mine was to work out like 4 or 5 days a week, even just for like 10 minutes at a time. So Beachbody is the perfect service for that. It's a streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of workouts that you can do literally from your living room. And I'm lazy. I don't like to go outside if I don't have to when it's cold. So I've been working out of my house. It's kind of like a Netflix for different workouts that you already know. So like P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Hip Hop Abs, 3-Week Yoga Retreat. Yeah.
So many.
They have really awesome trainers. I'm a big fan of Sean T from Insanity. If you guys listen to DST, you've heard me talk about that. And you can do it for like as long as you want. If you want to do 10 minutes, if you don't have equipment in your apartment, it's literally like the time it would take me to walk to the gym. I could just be done right. with a workout.
Like, so instead of having to like motivate yourself to go to the gym and then by the time you get there, you're over it.
Exactly.
You can just put it on and just do it right at the exact moment that you feel in the mood to work out and then you're done.
Exactly. So right now our listeners can get a special free trial membership, including a 14-day results plan when you text BETCH to 303030. You get full access to the entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition info, the results plan and support. Totally free. Again, just text BETCH to 303030. And we're back. Okay. Send help, betches. My manager recently went on maternity leave and the temporary manager went full on psycho once he was left in charge. He has not only raised his voice at me while awkwardly spazzing out and kicking his cabinet when he did not fully understand a project I was working on that needed his review, but he has been constantly challenging me via email and rudely belittling me. It has been an extremely anxiety-ridden work environment to the point where my heart drops when I see him walking down the hallway. What should I do? I try talking to another manager that I thought I felt comfortable with, but she doesn't believe me when I say he is out to get me. To add on to this, the majority of our department feels the same way as me, and my coworkers have seen him treat me this way and agree there is an issue, but I should just sweep it under the rug. It's clear he has some issues and is stirring the pot. I feel a little stuck and not sure if I should go to HR or upper management. Appreciate your advice, books, blogs, lives, KK, thank you. Concern for my health and job, Betch.
So to sum this up, her manager's on maternity leave. The guy who's like replacing her is like unpleasant to work with. That's essentially the issue.
He sounds a little bit like crazy, but
he's like rude and like condescending.
Yeah. I think you should go to HR.
Right. I think if you have emails that are very bad, those are very good to keep in log because those are written. It's hard to like prove that someone is like yelling at you, obviously, but like
you can write down
every time that instance occurs and what they said specifically that is like offensive.
I don't know. I think it's kind of weird when this guy kicked a cabinet. Like, that's very inappropriate. Like,
seems like he has some anger issues.
Right. That's like,
you should log that the time and the date that happened and say that you're uncomfortable with that.
Write every single thing down and then print out the emails or whatever, save them separately, and then go to HR with all of that because it seems like he's pretty inappropriate.
You should log it regardless of whether or not they do anything, just because like the more that happens, the more of a case you have that like you're living in a very hostile work environment. Mm-hmm. I would say like, obviously it seems like if your manager is on maternity leave and she will be coming back, they might try to like push this issue a little bit to like, for that time frame. I wouldn't be surprised if they were just kind of like, I don't know how long people go on maternity leave or your manager is away, but it might be the kind of thing where they'll kind of encourage you to just sort of like deal with it until she gets back, unless there's something really, really like.
Right. But I do think this seems like
you should definitely say something regardless.
I don't think you'd be overreacting
and bring as much actual evidence that you have. People don't, I feel like from our experience in fielding HR
complaints,
the more just like calm and like factual you are, the more seriously you're going to be taken and the more seriously the issue is going to be taken. If you bring like kind of like hysterics into it, people are a little bit less likely, more likely to think it's personal and less likely to think that it's like a logged, like rational, like reaction that you're having to things that are going on.
Also because when they eventually speak to the like that person, assuming they do, and let's say he turns it on you,
right,
then it will make you seem like
you have a vendetta or something like that. So what I would do is I would definitely ask for a meeting with someone from HR. I would note again the time and the date and exactly what happened in all these instances and why they made you feel uncomfortable, and then just be like, I'm not really sure what you can, if there's anything that you can do to help me alleviate the situation, like I would be appreciative of that because this is becoming like a pretty hostile environment for me to work in.
Right.
And then you just say that rationally and calmly, you give all your evidence, and like then it's up to them to fix that situation for you.
Yes. And for more career advice about this and other issues, order When's Happy Hour, Work Hard So You Can Hardly Work. It's our third career. It's our third book, which is basically a funny career advice book where we talk about this and lots of other things. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever books are sold. Go to betches.co/WHH book.
All right. Do it.
Let's take one more quick break and do some games.
Okay, guys. So today we're also sponsored by Kopari, which is a very cool brand. It's basically, they have deodorant and they have toothpaste and they have other very cool products. And basically, it like cuts out all that disgusting crap from the stuff that you're usually using.
So, I mean, one thing that I've heard a lot about is how a lot of like mass produced deodorants have aluminum in them. It's really bad to have that like next to your boobs. Like it increases your risk for breast cancer. So Kopari coconut deodorant does not have any of that in it. It is formulated with plant-based actives like sage oil and coconut oil, so it lasts a long time. It is free of silicone, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda, and it's great for sensitive skin.
And you can reorder it really easy with a subscription. It's shipped as often as you want, automatically and for free, and they offer you a money-back guarantee, so there's basically no reason not to try it because you're going to get it for free. If you don't like it, you're not really going to waste anything. So go to KopariBeauty.com/slapped to make the safe switch today and save $5 on your first order when you subscribe. That's Kopari, KopariBeauty.com/slapped. KopariBeauty.com/slapped. And we're back.
With okay. The games.
Let's play some games, right? Would you rather get 500,000 likes on your viral Instagram post or get a check for $100?
I find this to be a hard question because I think it's kind of cool. I think it's kind of cool to get 500,000 likes.
But on like one post, the rest of them have like your average amount of likes.
You know what would make this harder? $500 check, 500,000 likes.
So you're picking five. So
I would pick the check if it were $500.
I'm confused.
Like if okay, the check, no, okay, if it so were now more
you're
money.
Saying you're saying 500,000 because it's only $100.
Yeah. Because like $100 is like not enough. Is like,
so how much is 500,000 likes worth to you?
$500.
$500.
Yeah.
So it's $450 or 500,000
likes. I hate when you
likes.
Fucking do this to me.
That's it's to find the point. It's to find how much the 500,000 likes is worth to you.
Okay. 400. Yeah. 450.
$450.
Yeah.
I'm definitely taking a $450 check. I might take the $100 check too.
I would
There's
not.
Really not that $100? Much you can buy with $100 yeah. these days.
Right, exactly.
You could get like a nice...
Like I could just
You could pay
save.
For like a nice dinner just for yourself.
Right, I could save $100. Like I could just not buy something.
So you're taking the likes.
For $100, yeah. Because it's cool. It's a cool
okay,
thing to
fine,
say.
Fine, for $200, I'm taking the money.
Okay, I'm not.
My number is 200.
200 is still not that much money.
I know, but it's like, I don't need, the 500 likes isn't going to do anything for me. These are strangers. I don't know them.
Right, that's true. But I think it'd be cool to say.
You like, just be like,
oh, look at this.
It's like, how much
post.
Is your flattery worth?
It's five, 450. Yeah.
How much is someone telling you that you look pretty
I
in the street?
I want to be able to buy something. I want, zero. I want to be able to buy, but the difference is that this has like, evidence like you'll always have that many likes on your post on that one post.
I know, but it's almost weirder to have that on just
it's
one
cool.
post.
It's cool. It's like an achievement.
I don't think I think it's like weird almost. It's like why do you have them like what is the picture?
It's like I traded in $449 for this.
Likes is not real life currency.
I know. Okay, maybe 440 like
ugh. Unless you're on a pay per engagement
yeah,
situation
plan.
With your fake sponsor.
I don't know. I just think it would be look.
You can get so many
I'm
fake
not
sponsors
get any
in
money.
That.
Right, your average engagement will skyrocket.
That's true.
Okay, would you rather make $200,000 as a doctor or $500,000 a year as an Instagram influencer? You should have switched these around.
You think?
Yeah, because a doctor is a harder job and you make less money.
I know, but it is less prestigious. I think.
The prestige is not
okay,
worth.
Okay, fine. So you're saying, would you rather make $500,000 as a doctor or $200,000 as an Instagram influencer?
I'd rather make $500,000 as a doctor. I would rather make more money.
So you're just picking the job with the more money. You have to work a lot harder as a doctor for that money.
Right, but you make more.
Here's the thing. I'm torn between the like prestige of the job that I'm saying I have and actually like as a doctor, it's like one of those great jobs, I think, where it's like you're helping people and you get paid like not like an incredible amount of money, but like it's almost one of the highest like direct help to money
jobs.
Like ratios like do you know what I mean
it
like there's
is.
Very few jobs where you get to directly help like people on an individual basis
right
in like almost like a very clear cut way like as a lawyer you're helping people but like not really.
Depending who you're representing
right yeah like
and
maybe,
you're probably not making
like
that
maybe
much.
Not
yeah
like if you're really helping people as a lawyer you're probably not making that much money as
right.
a doctor like you could
yeah you could really
potentially
be helping people
do
and
that
make a lot
I
would pick the thing that's more money because there's a $300,000 difference here. And like, I honestly, like, I would be either. Like, I'll be an influencer or a doctor. They're both, I think, have their hardships. But because they both have their hardships, I would, and 300 is not enough to, like,
okay,
you know, to so make
picking,
up the difference.
You're picking the doctor.
If the doctor's
you're picking whatever has more money.
In this situation, because there's what a 300, equal? Then I would pick the doctor.
All else being equal, you'd rather be a doctor to make your three, but even though you have to work more, probably. You get less free vacations.
But you like actually help people.
Yeah.
If it's the same.
It's kind of a tough question, actually.
It is.
Because one is much easier and one is like much better for the world.
I don't know. But also, but here's the thing. I think being an Instagram influencer takes a mental toll.
But like not in a way that not like a good way like that being a doctor does.
Right. Exactly. right. Not in the way that's like sacrificial. And
so that's why
you'd
prefer to be the doctor.
Right. Because they're both going to have a mental toll. And I think the Instagram influencer will be worse in the long run than being a doctor.
You know what I don't like? Doctors who are influencers.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Right. Like, come on.
It's kind of like I like love that profession. I like respect
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything to take away from that.
Right. I know. Right. I know.
Is there anything like sacred anymore?
No. There's not.
There's nothing that's sacred. That's sad.
There's literally nothing. I challenge you next time for the next podcast to think of one thing that is like considered sacred in society. By like everyone.
Are there like rabbis and priests that are influencers?
Not that I'm aware
That's
of.
That's interesting, actually.
But
you
there are definitely
you would
like,
think there'd be like a really big like Insta rabbi or something who is like has this huge following. There's like a white space in the market for
Insta religious leaders.
Yeah, Insta religious leaders.
Well, there are people who post Bible quotes, but they're not like
no. I'm saying like the Pope. Someone like in the field,
like something like a Pope. Oh my God, that'd be such a funny.
There's really like, a space in the market for that. I haven't seen any like really high pro. Maybe it's just because I'm not in that scene, but like
the rabbi priest scene. Here's the thing.
It kind of goes against like
the purpose.
The purpose.
But you could. But people post like Bible quotes and that right. sort of thing. They put it in their bios. Like it's inspiring to set like some group of people.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that there isn't. Maybe there will be soon.
Right. But I think in general, like just going back to is anything sacred? Like, I don't think so. Nah. I think like even like not even like people I think now will like be more likely to like speak ill of the dead like immediately, which is I think the last
I think the dead are given a little bit too much
too much respect.
I don't know. It's like just because you're dead, no one can say
well,
anything bad about
you.
Well, I think
there's a time limit. I think like right after you die, there's a difference between like right after someone dies.
I could agree with that.
Like, okay, when George H.W.
Bush
died.
What if like R. Kelly died?
I think that like everyone could like stop commenting for a week. Just not saying, don't be like, I miss R. Kelly. And then you assess how someone like R. Kelly was able to like, then you assess it like from a historical perspective, right. Like who the fuck was this guy and how did he?
Yeah.
You know.
I guess. So there should be a mandatory no shit talking period.
You know,
mandatory
hold
on shit talking
when someone dies.
Okay.
Like for a little bit.
I just don't want
and
people
then you
to feel like they
them.
Can be a complete asshole forever and then die
no.
and everyone thinks it's
no.
okay.
No. Here's my other thing. I hate when people praise someone who sucked after they died. Like just shut up. If you don't if
right.
you didn't like
just
them
don't
just
say
shut
anything.
Up. Yeah. Just shut up for a
for
week.
Like a second.
Yeah. Okay. Just a second. Yeah. And then we can resume.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, last game.
Okay.
BFF, party with, or shoot? I love this question. Kylie Jenner, your 21-year-old self, and Lindsay Lohan.
My 21-year-old self was such an asshole.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, I knew her.
My 21-year-old self yeah. was equally an asshole.
We were
asshole.
Both assholes at 21.
Awful person. Okay.
But we were a lot of fun.
Yes, we were a lot of fun. We wouldn't have this company if we were an asshole 21-year-olds.
That's true.
Okay. I would BFF my 21-year-old self.
Yeah, just I don't know. I'm still
I would
asshole.
Party with.
I won't be that sensitive to your needs, older self.
No, but like maybe you could like bring out the best in her. You could show her the possibilities.
I guess I wasn't that good at partying then either. I would always go to sleep early.
Right. I would party with Lindsay Lohan.
And you're getting rid of Kylie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Lindsay Lohan's definitely a fun girl to party
definitely.
With.
Definitely. Until she like, I don't know.
All right, so we're being best friends with our 20-year-old. Maybe we can give ourselves some tips.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't do this right now. You might regret it.
Someone should make a movie where like you meet your like is that kind of like
exists.
Back to the Future?
I don't know. I feel like that kind of exists. That has to exist.
Where like you're as an adult, you kind of like go back in time and you have to like befriend your old, your like 21 year old self.
Does it exist?
Does it? I feel like it sounds like it exists, but it's, I wonder if you guys know the movie name of a movie like that
or a book.
Yeah. Email us at slapped@badges.com or if you have an advice question. And if there is nothing out there, don't steal the idea because we're going to use it.
About ourselves.
Yeah.
All right. This has been fun.
Okay. Bye.